Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hello, and thank you so much for tuning in to this week's Food for Thought, a podcast on a mission to equip you with all the evidence-based advice that you need to live and breathe a healthy lifestyle. I'm Rhiannon Lambert, a registered nutritionist, best-selling author of Renourish, A Simple Way to Eat Well, and founder of Retrition, London's leading private nutrition clinic. In each episode, I'll be joined by special guests, all of whom can be considered authoritative voices in health, so that together we can learn fact from fiction and empower the healthiest and happiest versions of ourselves with trusted expert advice. Something so many of us are after is confidence. While some seem to be born with it or fake it until they make it, it just doesn't come easy to so many people. And something that's also becoming increasingly prevalent is a lack of self-assurance with this insecurity. But we can change this by realizing your true worth and finding faith in yourself. This week's Food for Thought sees body confidence influencer Alex Light and I explore how to overcome insecurities and how to build real self-assurance. Hello, Alex.
Hi. Thanks so much for having me.
Absolute pleasure. I've been such a fan of everything that you stand for and that you're putting out at the moment in the complicating realm of social media, I guess. And I think the way to kickstart the conversation today would be to really ask, is there a secret that you've got to feeling good about yourself?
I wish there was one secret, and I wish there was, I had a magic wand and it would help everyone feel better about themselves. But the real true answer, sorry, it's probably not the answer you wanted, but the real answer is work, hard work, and a lot of deconditioning. Because, you know, as I'm sure you know, we are kind of brought up in a world that teaches us not to like ourselves. So there really is no magic secret or answer, I'm afraid. It's just a hell of a lot of work and challenging negative thoughts and, yeah, just sort of in internal hard work.
But that's what we need to hear, though. I think sometimes we just need honesty that it's not some magical thing like in a Disney movie that you wake up in the morning and you feel amazing. Because sometimes,
yeah,
there is the contradictory thought, though, that we can spend so much time thinking about others that we do lose track when we have to think about ourselves, don't we?
Absolutely, yeah. I think we're so, more often than not, we're so focused on other people that we totally lose ourselves and what, you know, working on ourselves. And really, that is truly the best thing that you can do for yourself, especially when it comes to, you know, in this sphere as well, with body confidence and, you know, feeling better about how you look. It's so, a bad body image is so debilitating and detrimental to your life, and it can hinder you in so many ways, and I think there isn't enough focus on trying to sort of heal that relationship with yourself and how you look.
Exactly.
That's my thought, at least, you know.
No, it makes a lot of sense, because if we're not happy in our own skin, which I reckon I mean, I've done some stats on this before and I can't quite remember the figure, but it's extremely high. I mean, the percentage of men and women that are not happy in how they feel about themselves, how they look in themselves, that can have such a huge impact, like you said, on the rest of your life. So what are some realistic things that we could discuss maybe each week to concentrate on, to kind of give ourselves a bit of thought and time?
I think, do you know what, this is the number one thing that I recommend to everyone, and it's quite sad because it's an indictment of our times, but social media. So we spend so much time on it, that's just inevitable, and the stuff that we consume on there, we internalise, and that's just how it works. So I think that like something so important that you can do is to curate your social media feed and really make it as positive a space as it can be, because, you know, the way that those negative messages can seep in, the positive ones will, and it will start to shape how you see yourself and how you see others and start to challenge those long-held beliefs, you know, that we just find it so hard to shake and that we often don't even know are there. So that is my like number one tip I tell everyone, is take some time out to unfollow anyone that makes you feel bad and really focus on cultivating a really positive environment. And, you know, more specifically when it comes to body confidence, is to, you know, seek out people that look like you and people of all different kinds of shapes and sizes and races and genders, and try and just make your, you know, make your space as diverse as possible, because that's going to lead to you appreciating the beauty in body diversity rather than thinking it's something that needs to be fixed.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, if you looked at the hours that you probably spend on your phone absorbing other people's views and opinions and not even thinking about yourself, it is so easy to go into that vortex and get completely sucked in and stuck. It can also be easy to think that everyone's judging you, aren't they? Like, I think professionally and personally, because a lot of the times it's their own perceptions. It's not really reality, is it?
Totally. And to be honest with you, I'm not the best person to advise on this, because I am really bad for this as well, you know, feeling super self-conscious and sort of second guessing myself and doubting myself. And yeah, you know, like you said as well, I think it's because we've got platforms and we get such immediate feedback and also constant feedback, right? So in that sense, I think it's a little bit heightened for us. But I think, and this is what I say to people, again, sorry to bring it back to body confidence, but, you know, a lot of women say, I don't want to go to the beach and take off my, you know, sarong because everyone will be looking at me. And I say, and this applies to then all aspects of life, I say, people are too wrapped up in themselves, trust me, they're too focused on themselves to be really thinking about you. And if they do, that's on them. And, you know, what their opinion of you is not real. It doesn't make it true. It's their opinion of you, and that's that. You can dismiss that very easily, because what really matters is what you think of you.
I love that, and you're so right. It can consume and ruin an entire, let's say it was a day out to the beach. I like the example you used, actually, because I think that can apply to lots of things in life as well, aside from body confidence too, in the fact that, does it actually matter what somebody you don't know says about you? And this is easier said than done. I'm not pretending that I don't get upset as well, because I do. I think we're all sensitive, and we wouldn't be human if we reacted positively to every negative comment that was thrown your way. But it's hard to transform these situations. Perhaps, do you think it's just more open conversations like the one we're having now that are needed?
Definitely, 100%. Because I think the minute that you hear that, you can't unhear it, and it applies to everything then, and you realize, gosh, it's so true. Because, you know, and let's be honest, like, I'm really too wrapped up in myself to be looking at other people and judging them and gossiping about them. You know, I'm focused on what I've got to do in my life and getting through the day and doing everything I need to do. There's a lot going on, and I think that yes, there are people that like to gossip, but this then goes, there's another example I'd like to give you is I've, you know, recovered from an eating disorder, and that involved me putting on a lot of weight. And I was obsessed with the idea that everyone was talking about me behind my back and discussing the amount of weight I put on. And my therapist at the time said, okay, so all right, worst case scenario, people get behind your back and say, gosh, hasn't she put on a lot of weight? And what? And then what? Are they going to keep discussing it for another hour? No, it's really not that interesting, is it? You know, they might say it and then it's gone and then it's done and then you're old news, right? So I think even worst case scenario, people are judging you and talking about you, but it's not personal in the sense that they will do it to anyone. And, you know, you will be yesterday's news, you know, tomorrow. So I think that's really important to remember as well, that it can all feel so personal and so very real. But in reality, it's just, it's, you know, it's taking a step back and looking at the bigger picture and realizing that there's much more going on and you can't let that derail you in any way. So yeah, I think open conversations for sure, and honesty and just talking about it, definitely. And opening up to someone, I feel like we can get so lost inside our own heads, and I'm the biggest culprit with this. I can spiral and let something become so much bigger than it is. And then the moment I open up and, you know, speak to one of my sisters about it and just say, can I just ask for your advice on something? And I find almost instantly it's put into perspective, you know, and I see it for what it really is, which is not that big a deal.
Yeah, I love how honest you are as well about speaking about your eating disorder and the recovery and the thoughts, because so many other people would also have those thoughts, eating disorder or not, actually, in the current climate with the pandemic and an unprecedented situation. And this is obviously a bit off topic, but I think relevant again. The fear of what other people judge, how you cope or how you manage physically and mentally, if you're exercising more or not exercising more. And then I think it leads on to a whole other issue of imposter syndrome, which I think everybody seems to get as well. It's so tough, isn't it? That what are the triggers you think that seem to arise, and how does this come about?
Totally. I think again, social media is a huge culprit when it comes to this, because we are bombarded daily, you know, with the people we follow with their, and this has kind of become a bit of a cliche saying, but it's, I don't want you to dismiss it because it's cliche, because it's so true, is that social media is really, really a highlight reel, and people are showing their best side and their, you know, their achievements rather than their failures. And that, you know, it's all about the positivity rather than the negativity, and there is so much that goes on behind the scenes and you just don't see that. And, you know, I'm sort of guilty of this as well, not understanding that, you know, what you see isn't necessarily real. And yeah, sorry to make it about me again. It's like the case for when I was, you know, just, I think this is just a really good example. When I was going through my eating disorder and, you know, on Instagram, I had a bit of a following at that point. And on Instagram, it was showing my relationship, us all loved up, and my outfits and my beauty. And I was always smiling and showing, you know, I've just been featured in this magazine or that, or, you know, and actually behind the scenes, I was a total mess. I felt worse than, you know, it was my rock bottom, basically. It was my rock bottom. But no one had a clue, and I did not let on in the slightest. So you just have to take everything you see with a pinch of salt and not let these things make you feel bad about yourself, because, you know, people, you know, life and everyone's reality is this, like, it's a very messy, imperfect existence, and we cannot then, you know, package that up into these neat little curated, filtered and edited squares and expect that to be representative of what's going on in our actual life. So I just want anyone listening to really understand that and really let that sink in, and maybe keep it in mind the next time you see something that makes you feel bad. Just know that there's, you know, there's always something going on.
Oh, 100%. You never know someone's story, and you can't judge a book by its cover. I mean, judging a book by its cover is a very old saying, and I think we've heard it for years and years and years, but it's true, because everyone's got a journey at the moment. And you're right. I think if we use the platform Instagram over all the social media sites as the perfect example, a story is 15 seconds long. Now, there's a lot of other things that go on in someone's day aside from that 15 second clip that has been, you know, chosen to be shown or been at the forefront of that person's highlight reel that day. And you just have to take a step back and remember that sometimes. But if we do talk about imposter syndrome,
I do think it's important just to acknowledge, once you become aware that you feel a certain way, you can then put mechanisms in to deal with it and know that those feelings are fleeting. They don't last forever, because in life, we're not going to get things right, are we? And that's not a bad thing, is it?
No, gosh, no, definitely not. Like, for sure, like, mistakes are where we learn, really. And what you were saying as well, I think this applies to absolutely anything that's a problem, or at least something that is that impacts you negatively. I think with anything like that, it's so important to acknowledge. That is genuinely the first step, because once you acknowledge, then you are able to pick up when, you know, there are certain triggers or you know, pick up on how you're feeling. So acknowledging it is so important, and then you can work on things in there and put mechanisms in place. And
exactly,
yeah.
I do also think if we're talking about making mistakes, it's actually good to feel uncomfortable, but it depends what support network you also have around you. So I think women in particular tend to go through more friendship circles than guys, from what yeah. I've seen anyway in my line of work, and also in my life anecdotally. And I think that's for a reason, because at different points in your life, you require different types of support. But ultimately, you do need to surround yourself, if you can, with people that are going to just take you for you. And if you can say something that does make you feel uncomfortable and say, look, I've made a mistake, and they still are there loving you at the end of the day, that's incredible. And I think that can also help build a bit of resilience. Would you agree that you need to get that solid network?
Absolutely. I think it's so important in literally every aspect. But yeah, as well with making mistakes, you know, I think it's we hold ourselves to this impossible standard. We really do. And especially women, I think, you know, I don't have specific statistics on that, but I'm pretty sure that we, you know, hold ourselves to a higher standard. And like, we shouldn't be expected to know everything. We can't know everything. We're not born understanding, you know, how everyone in the world feels. But I think the really important thing is being open to learn, not using, you know, sort of, you know, upbringing as an excuse, not using anything as an excuse, but learning graciously and learning from other people and just opening your mind up to as many other people's experiences as you can. Because I think as well, it's just human nature. Like, we believe what we see. Mm-hmm. Sort of, it has to be there for us to believe it. And that's just not the case. And I think it's just so important that we really open our minds and hearts up as much as possible to other people's experiences and really like developing that empathy for as many people as we can, because that's going to really, you know, hold us in good stead when it comes to sort of, you know, making things better for the people who are more marginalized in this world.
Oh, 100%. And I think something that's really apparent when you talk about things on your social media, I mean, the phrases that you use, one of them I'm just going to pick out now: you didn't get this far in somebody else's body. I mean, that's so true. You have to really, that really struck a chord with me. I just thought, we have to be a bit thankful sometimes and take a step back and think, wow, look what we've been given. And if somebody is not going to be there to support you, it's not worth it. I'm sure that you found on your journey navigating this crazy world of social media that you've probably had quite a few people that maybe have changed in your life or different faces come in.
Yeah, I think as well, it's hard on social media. I kind of threw myself into it with, oh, eating disorder recovery, and I'm going to show, you know, I'm going to show my body and make women feel better about themselves, without any kind of understanding of the roots or the history of self-acceptance and body positivity and body confidence, and realizing that, you know, that all starts with focusing on the kind of more, you know, the people who are more marginalized and, you know, pushed to the margins of society. And that was a huge learning curve for me, and I just got so much criticism from it. But all this stuff is so important to live and learn, and it can be hard, like you know, I call it learning in public. I don't know if you feel like this too, but there is so much that we have to like learn as we go along. And that's quite difficult, especially I am super, I don't know if you're the same, but I am a super sensitive person.
Yes. And,
I have been fast-tracked to a thick skin with what we do on here, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, yes. I guess one of the main struggles that perhaps I found, which I wasn't even sure I was going to be sharing on this podcast, but we're going to go there, so I'm going to bring it up.
Okay, yeah.
I guess it's the fine line for me with being a health professional and showing little snippets of your life, but also knowing right. that it can be interpreted in so many different ways. Something that perhaps I may think would be helpful for so many will always, always upset a few. And that's something I've had to learn the hard way, that no matter what you try and do, there will always be something or somebody that doesn't quite agree with it. And that's okay. And I've had to kind of weigh it up with, well, it helps more than it doesn't help. So that's how I'm going to go with it. And that's how I'm going to approach my life.
I think that's really important. And I was going to just pull out a quote that someone sent me the other day that I thought was so perfect, is that, if you're speaking to everyone, you're probably connecting with no one. And I think that's so perfect, exactly what you're saying. You cannot please everyone. You're never going to speak to anyone, to everyone. But if you don't try at least to speak to someone, you're not going to get anywhere.
Exactly, because that's what this is about. It's a conversation and we have to share things and we are our own worst critics. You said you feel sensitive. I'm sure lots of listeners feel sensitive. I feel immensely sensitive. I've been in tears over things that have happened to me online, lost sleep, been through heaps of anxiety, but we are our own worst critics. And it's so important that we just realize that these anxieties are due to these external factors. And we need to really, really focus on clinging on to those things that are your kind of home and security, I think, are. Because you just can't conform to all these societal norms. It's impossible, isn't it? The language that's used out there can have a huge impact on mental health.
Totally. And you cannot conform to every societal norm. It's literally impossible, especially as women. Again, where we are kind of held to a higher standard and more is expected of us socially. And, you know, a prime example is... you know, with how we look, it's scarily narrow, the societal standard of beauty, scarily narrow, you know, it probably fits. I think there was, I'm going to absolutely butcher this now because I can't remember, I can't remember what study it was, but I think it was 1% of the population actually fits how society wants us to look.
Wow.
Which is crazy, right? So it's like, we are absolutely set up for failure. And, you know, there's this huge, huge billion-dollar business out of, you know, trying to make us look a certain way when it's just crazy. And, you know, I can kind of get, you know, it kind of makes me a bit angry, like thinking about it and thinking all that we're, you know, that we're just set up for this failure and basically destined to try our entire lives. And, you know, this is very much leading into, like, you know, dieting as well. Which is absolutely destined to fail, always does. It's like kind of taught to spend our lives in this eternal pursuit of something that we're never, ever going to get. And all of that leads us so far away from actually focusing on ourselves and cultivating and, you know, nurturing who we really are and becoming the best possible, and sorry, it's such a cringe phrase, but it's real, like becoming the best possible versions of ourselves and building a meaningful life which always exists outside of how we look.
No, I think that's really beautiful, and I think you're right. We're set up, every society is also different, which we should throw in, that in certain cultures, different societal norms of what success and beauty look like are different, you know, different shades of colour, different shapes, different sizes. And it is impossible that everybody is going to fit into that one. And you're right, that perhaps is a big, big part of the problem, a big piece of the puzzle that needs fixing. And what about, you know, people that are have different religions or the LGBT community or... you know, race, younger individuals, we discussed gender a little bit, but there are different demographics, aren't there, that are more susceptible to confidence and insecurity, and perhaps it's because of this.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Definitely. And you'll find that the demographics who are more susceptible to confidence and insecurity are the ones who are, you know, who live on the margins of society, who are the more marginalized groups, because they are so far from societal norms that this sort of sparks and prompts this lack of security in themselves and makes them question themselves. And it's really sad. It's really sad.
Yeah, no, exactly, which is why it's important we have these conversations and equally acknowledging, and this is a phrase as well that has been thrown about, but I think without the right understanding, acknowledging the privilege that I know I have myself in society as well.
Totally.
That how fortunate everybody is in the UK to be educated. Not everybody, I should have said, but a lot of people. Sometimes we do need to take a step back and we do need to look, and maybe even just acknowledging our growth can help with our confidence, just thinking, wow, you know, I've changed so much and I'm seeing things in a new light. That's pretty cool as well. That's a positive spin on even acknowledging the conversation.
It's huge. It's huge. And you're right. There has been so much talk of you know, privilege, especially during this year. But it's so, so important to recognize. And I have conversations every day with women in my DMs who, you know, are, you know, I talk a lot about thin privilege, which is a very, very real thing. But I think privilege is something that's so difficult for and so uncomfortable for us to accept, you know. But you're right. It's so important to acknowledge that, because that's at that point we are, you know, opening ourselves up to helping the people who are oppressed. Yes. So, yeah. And I think there's absolutely confidence can be found in acknowledging your progress. And I think that is the case in all aspects of life as well. You know, I always say when I'm having like a bad body image day, I remind myself of my progress, and that's my instant pick me up and instantly makes me feel kind of proud of myself and will change my mindset, because you know, looking back at just how far I've come and you know, the achievement I've made in that sense is huge in switching the narrative in your head from negative to positive.
I mean, the narrative's everything. We talk about relationships with food in the Retrition Clinic, and it's something I've spent years doing with all genders and types of people from different areas in the world. And it's something everybody has a relationship with food. And I think once you're capable of openly talking about it and acknowledging that again, that is the journey. That is the mindset. And that can help with the recovery with it. So I don't think blocking out all the bad stuff is useful. I think sometimes we need to just learn to live alongside it. We actually did a very interesting podcast episode that came out the week we're recording this one. And we discussed the fact that as children, we're not actually acknowledged not acknowledge, what's the right word? We're not taught that being sad is okay. Whenever you're sad, it's like, oh, how can we make you happy again?
Yes.
How can we, do you know what I mean? How can we quickly fix, you know, whatever's wrong with you in that moment? Whereas actually maybe we should be nurturing the fact that we have a spectrum of emotions and it's okay sometimes to feel a bit sad.
Oh, and I think the most important thing when you're feeling sad is to lean into it.
Mm.
I think that's so important because leaning into it can often uncover the root of the problem as well, which yes. then, as we discussed before, you know, acknowledging it means that you can begin to work on it. But it's so, so, so important to lean into those feelings and let yourself feel them. I think that's huge. And you're right, it's something that we're absolutely not taught, especially, you know, there's cultural differences as well. You know, we're British and stiff upper lip and sort of keep it in and get over it. You know, put a brave face on and you'll be fine. And that is not conducive to any kind of, you know, positive change or, you know, yeah.
I think what lacks is kindness. I really think if as a society we were kinder to one another, even if you don't like something, you don't have to say it. If you've got nothing nice to say, sometimes don't say it, or say it in a more polite, constructive way. There is definitely a way of communicating. Yeah. And perhaps this is what's knocked a lot of people's confidence when they're younger, that somebody could have said something in a not so kind manner. And that's then created a phobia. I mean, I'm not a psychologist, I'm a nutritionist, but I know from a food context that often it's comments about the way you eat or what you do with food or how you see it that are made when you're younger or throughout your journey that impact how you feel about it now.
Totally. Oh my gosh. Yes. And I can imagine this is the case. I would say that most women will be able to relate to that on some level, I'm sure. Yeah. Because, you know, especially growing up in the era we did, when diet culture was so prevalent and so sort of overt as well. It was not covert in any way. For sure, I think we've all sort of, you know, had comments made about how we look or how we eat, the kind of food we eat, you know, our weight, for sure.
I mean, it's almost like agreement. I'm so glad that these conversations like we're having now are happening, because things were very much black and white then. It was, this is good, this is bad. Like you said about size. And I wonder, I mean, I acknowledge the fact I have thin privilege. That's my body shape. That's the shape I live in and the body I walk in every day. And I wonder if my career, starting very young, would have got to the place it has if I hadn't been that body shape and size. And I acknowledge that. And I actually think a lot needs to change. We need to really look past appearances. And we should define what success is, Alex, because that looks different to everyone too. What is success?
Totally. I think for me, success is building a life and building a system around you that feels meaningful and fulfilling. That, for me, is success. You know, because I think success is often equated to something professional. But, you know, and it is, of course, you have professional success, but also personal success. And I truly believe it's working on yourself and, you know, on the relationships around you and just cultivating a life that feels meaningful and fulfilling. That's what it means for me. What does it mean for you?
Yeah, do you know, not many people ask me questions on this podcast. I like that.
Sorry,
I love that you threw it back. No, it's great. I think, I guess for me, success is being happy in life. If I feel success, it's that sense of achievement but filled with happiness, because if I'm not happy, I don't feel I've achieved anything. It's like a very strange, I guess, health and happiness. It's just, if I can get through the day, that it's really changed for me. I used to think, because I started my career in the music industry, Alex, I used to think that success was defined by, you know, making the album, getting the record out, getting a certain amount of sales or numbers. And I learned very, very quickly that just having your health, being happy, because finding happiness is very difficult. I think acknowledging what makes you happy is a question we ask in the clinic and is a very difficult one to answer. What makes people happy?
And I think also, you know, our perception of happy as well is that we're kind of walking around on cloud nine all the time. And it's really not, you know, it's just a sort of, you know, a nice level sense of contentment, I think.
And, yes.
Yeah, yes, rather than this like ecstatic kind of, yeah, this state of ecstasy that we kind of perceive it to be.
Exactly. And that does lead me nicely onto questions from our listeners today, Alex. And I think it would be lovely to have your perspective on a lot of these. I've picked out a few. Okay. Kylie has said that a previous relationship has left me feeling really self-conscious and insecure about dating. How can I avoid this happening again?
Oh, gosh. It always makes me so upset to hear things like this because, you know, it's things like this are so unavoidable. And I'm just really sorry that that ever happened to her. But I think it's so important to realize that whatever that partner did that made you feel bad, that's on them and it's not on you. And I think that's so important. It's something that's so difficult to actually let that sink in and feel real. But I promise you it's true and you can't let it, you know, shape how you go from here. You know, yeah. You have to let yourself be open and, you know, open your heart to like new experiences and just try your hardest to remember that it's on them and not you.
Joe, it's very, very tough, these sorts of questions, and something I never really talk about, actually, which I feel this is the type of episode I might as well bring it up. In the past, a very, very long time ago, I was in a pretty dangerous type of relationship, but I've managed to move on from that and meet my husband. So there is light at the end of the tunnel.
For sure.
And I'm sure lots more people, if they were brave enough, would definitely speak about that too, Kylie. So there is light. There's always light. Laura has said, I'm a bit of a perfectionist, but could this be harming me in a way?
Totally. Oh, my gosh. Do you know what? I've always called myself, and I'm sort of evaluating whether this is right, but I've always called myself a lazy perfectionist. As in, I strive for extreme perfection, and I feel like that actually prevents me from doing things. It sort of paralyzes me. My fear of not doing something properly stops me from doing things at all. And actually, oh, and it's another quote that I'm going to butcher, but it's, you know, it's better to do something imperfectly than, oh gosh.
I love it. Like, you're imperfectly perfect. Something
yeah,
like that.
Right, exactly. And it's best to just absolutely give things a go and allow them to be imperfect and also to grow from there, because those things are how we work out what's best to do next and where to go from there. And it's how we make progress. So I think it's so important to work on perfectionism, because it can be absolutely paralyzing and leave so much self-doubt that you don't actually end up sort of, you know, progressing to where you want to. So yeah, are you a perfectionist as well?
Me, yeah. I definitely used to be. But in the last, I'd say 2 to 3 years, I have got a lot better. I think, to be honest, running my business made me realize I couldn't be a perfectionist, if I'm being honest.
It
literally was impossible. And now having a baby, I have to say that is right out the window right now. There is zero ounce of perfectionism left within me. My typos are horrendous on my social media. Everything is not like it used to be, but I'm just embracing that right now.
good yeah, perfect.
So Alex,
perfectly imperfect.
Exactly, perfectly imperfect should be the quote of this episode today. We do have our fact or fiction round. Alex, are you ready for this?
I am, yes.
Okay, here we go. If you could kindly answer fact or fiction to the following questions. You either have confidence or you don't.
Fiction.
If you have low confidence, you'll make a bad first impression.
No, fiction.
Confidence starts within.
I feel like all of these, like, I want to answer properly, but this is quick fire, isn't it?
So no, you can expand a bit if you want. I don't mind. Go on.
I think, you know, because I think I don't want anyone with low confidence to feel that's going to push their confidence even further down. So I think there's also, you know, there's, what's the word I'm looking for? We also, I think there's beauty of being vulnerable as well, right?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that's something absolutely not to worry about. And please don't I don't want anyone to kind of let that push their confidence back.
There's beauty in being, oh, so many beautiful, beautiful quotes today. here we go. There's no such thing as constructive criticism.
Fiction.
taking risks is a great way to learn.
Fact. Yeah, even though it feels extremely hard. Yes, fact.
Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah. Comparison is the thief of joy.
Fact. Fact. 100%.
Yeah, that one's out there loud and clear. Insecurity is rising amongst individuals.
Fact.
The news is the worst trigger for insecurity.
Fiction. Social media.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. You shouldn't be afraid of failure.
A fact. Yeah.
Loved ones make the biggest difference to your mindset.
A fact.
That was a great fact or fiction, Alex. Well done.
Oh, okay, good.
You made it through the 10 questions. It's always hard. This one is actually quite refreshing because we can add so many nuances in between it on this topic because this topic is full of nuance. It's much harder for me on our fact or fictions when I'm doing our science-based episodes where it's very, you know, to the book. So this is... lovely discussion to have today. And that does nearly wrap up the episode today. And we always finish, Alex, with our food for thought. And I'll kick off today by saying, I guess I touched on it earlier, that when I was a singer, I really witnessed the awful pressure, and I experienced it, of fitting into a certain mold and an aesthetic. And I think the language back then, we're talking well over 10 years ago now, was very different. And it was very harmful to our physical and emotional, to be honest, our mental health all over. And I guess that goes for all sectors. The language used was extremely different. And I think today we have a chance now. We have a real chance, and we have a chance to influence how we feel and act, and to spread a different type of message, to embrace different areas that we didn't have access to before. So... I guess if you can find that inner happiness somewhere, whatever happiness looks like to you as well, that can help overcome anxiety. Alex, if you could leave our listeners. Oh, thank you.
That's lovely.
Today, I hope, is going to be very uplifting for everyone. If you could uplift everybody and leave a food for thought, what would that be?
I struggled with this because I had like 15 things that I wanted to end
on. I'm sure.
I've got to narrow it down
to
what I think is the most... powerful one. I think we don't realize how negative the internal narrative is and what we say to ourselves. I think it goes without us realizing how the things that we say to ourselves. So I think it's so important to stop yourself and try and acknowledge any thoughts that are negative towards yourself, and really ask yourself, would I say this to someone that I loved? You know, my mom or my sister or my friend. And if the answer is no, then you don't deserve it either. And I think self-compassion is so important. It's so, so, so important. And, you know, we talk a lot about compassion towards other people, and then that's often left out for ourselves. So I think it's really vital, and something that I would love to leave everyone with is just to try and sort of, you know, raise that level of compassion that you currently have for yourself, because that is the key.
I feel like it's been such a nice conversation today, Alex. It's been so refreshing, and it's really lovely to discuss this with someone like yourself that's had such a journey that they're very open and honest about, and that you share online. And if anybody wants to go and find out more about you, Alex, where are they going to head?
Yeah, so I'm on Instagram at alexlight_LDN, which stands for London. I've got a podcast as well called The Light Show.
So perfect. Yeah. And the name is very appropriate. We love it. Alex, thank you so much for coming on Food for Thought today.
Thank you so much for having me. Thank you.
If you enjoyed this episode, you'll absolutely love what's coming next week. So make sure that you click subscribe to be the first to hear it. And if you have the time to, we'd really appreciate it if you could leave a review so that we can reach higher highs in the charts. And hopefully that will help us reach more and more people. For more information about my Retrition Clinic, the books, healthy recipes, and so much more, please do visit retrition.com. And you can follow me on social media at Retrition on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.